This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
There's legal assault out there, and I love football because the brand of football that I play, I mean, guys not love football anymore, and I do that every day, every down by really just giving them my all and letting them know I'm not going to let up. So the thing I love the most about football is taking the love away from other people.
We're back with more Layla Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
That was Alabama's Tyler Booker just nailing the soundbite portion of the combine. He really did a nice job, and that's a wonderful slogan to have if you're a pro wrestler or if perhaps you are punishing somebody on the offensive line. As we broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, we go to the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Happy to be joined by Hub Arkish, our friend. You know him well. Of course, the editor at Pro Football Weekly. He works for Shaw Media as well. Hub, it is great to hear you as always. Thanks for joining us.
It's good to be with you, Lynn.
First of all, what were your main takeaways from what you heard from the combine, whether it be on the free agency side, knowing there were some franchise tags that were placed, or just the overall messages you heard from Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson, or what we saw out of the actual prospects at the combine?
I don't think any stories really. Some things that we expected to happen did happen. Other people, we know are going to be huge in free agency or top 10 picks. They're waiting to get more information on them now. But it was interesting to get to meet the new coaches. I was very impressed with what I heard from both Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles. And it seemed like the Bears had a good week. But the reality is, they're loaded with assets as far as draft picks and money in the salary cap. But now the combine, it's really just about starting to evaluate these players and decide which is the best talent. And right now, at every position, you've got the top five or six guys, and this is where you start to figure out who really are one and two.
Well, and to me, it's always the discussion. I don't care what team you cover. It's always the conceptual discussion of best player available versus best need. Knowing that and knowing you've covered this team for so long, where do you sit on what the Bears should do in that position at 10?
Well, I feel very strongly, Layla, about the draft that it has to be best player available. When you're drafting just for need, you're making mistakes. And now sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you get the right guy anyway. But with the draft, it's best player available. Now, in free agency, that's different because everybody you're looking at, and you have the choice of who's going to get your money. And there, you can move a little bit and take some more chances. But to me, I want the guy who looks like he's going to go to three or four Pro Bowls for me.
And who do you see could be that person for the Bears at 10th overall?
Well, I thought you were asking who could be that person in the draft. At 10th, I don't know because, I don't know what order they're coming in. But there's no question the Bears need to get better at edge rusher. They need to get better on the offensive line. I think they're going to add another running back. And I think there's a reasonable chance that the best player available at number 10 is going to be Jeanty, the running back. And, and uh, And I wouldn't mind that pick for the Bears. I know that's not what everybody's talking about or wants, but you got to remember, you've got four of what, the first 72 picks. There's going to be, you know, two, three good offensive linemen, good edge rushers. There's plenty of guys. The first pick doesn't have to be the offensive lineman or the edge rusher. The first pick has to be the best player available. Then you look at your next picks, and that's where you got to start to fill some needs and hope that you're still getting the best players available.
Well, you said it. You thought I would ask you about who you think could be that person in the draft. So now I want to know, who do you think could be a perennial pro bowler in this draft?
Oh, boy. I'm just going to cop out and tell you honestly, I don't know. It's all about, how they adjust to playing at the next level. These kids wouldn't be, top 10, top 20 picks if they weren't great talents and great players. But when I look at a guy like Travis Hunter, who can play two positions, and some people think, maybe should end up playing both in the NFL. That's somebody that if he's on the board, when you go, you've got to, take a serious look at him. If you want an edge rusher, Bill Carter, is the best edge rusher in this draft. I don't think there's any chance of choice question about that. The Bears are in an interesting spot because everybody keeps talking about pass rusher and offensive line, but they need the whole defensive line improved, as well as the offensive line. And a player who I don't think will be there for him is Mason Graham from Michigan, but he is the best defensive lineman in this draft. And if he were somehow to fall to 10, or if they were to want to trade up and get him, that's somebody who I'd be very interested in for them too.
No, I feel like he's gotten a lot of good press since the combine ended. Mason Graham, obviously a talent-loaded Michigan team, even though they lost a lot of players after the national championship, still showed a lot when it came to who they do have, who was a playmaker. Of course, Hub, I know Michigan near and dear to your heart, but there's a reason to bring him up, and the Bears do need help on that D-line. I do think they need help, both on offensive line and defensive line. They've got a lot of money, too, to spend in free agency. So I look at it both ways, knowing that they could get a real talent. I just don't know how much of a difference on this team, if the line isn't good, a guy like Jeanty can make. That's my concern, is how much better served would his game be if they did get good people to block for him up front?
Well, it's a great point, Layla. But where I differ from most of the guys in the Chicago media, I don't believe the Bears' offensive line is as bad as people keep making it out to be. It's got to get better. They need to improve. There's no question about that. But I think they're fine right now at tackle with both those tackles. I think they could be their tackles for the next, 5, 6, 8 years. And then you look at the guards in the center, all three of the guys who were starting at the end of the year are free agents. So they're going to replace probably all three of them, and there's going to be plenty of guys available. But finding interior offensive linemen is a lot harder than finding those franchise tackles. And so I think that the Bears, they're going to have plenty of what they need available, if we're talking draft now or free agency. And this is just a point now where who's good at this and who's not. So you got to look at Ryan Poles' last three drafts, and I think for the most part, he's done a pretty good job. Everybody wants to focus on one guy or one trade. There are no perfect general managers. They don't get everything right. But I think that for what Poles has done in his first 3 years in terms of evaluating talent, picking the right guys, I think he's done a pretty good job so far. And so just have to hope now, not only that he fills these needs, but that he fills them with the right players, because every time he goes to fill one, there's going to be two or three guys available who are going to be very good players. And you just have to hope that, Poles continues to do well making picks.
I understand that. Even John Lynch, for example, has suffered some real embarrassments in the draft. I'm thinking of the Trey Lance move, for example. But his team has been good enough to withstand it. That would have been a colossal mistake for any other team. And I feel like for him, it was a mistake for sure, deserved to be recognized. But as to how much it set the franchise back based on who they had in place, it wasn't that much. That's the desire, right? You want the GM mistakes to be able to be withstood in a way where you have so much talent around that team that a mistake like that is just a setback and not catastrophic.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And the bottom line is that you have to be careful not to either spend too much in free agency or give up too much if you're making a trade in the draft. You know, there are certain guys that you really want. There's no question about that. And you probably have to go and what you think is overpay a little bit to get them. But you can't do that too often. You know, you've got to make sure that you're getting value at the spot that you're picking or value with what you're spending in free agency. And that's where I'm more impressed with what Poles has done than what he hasn't done. I'm more impressed with the good moves he's made than the mistakes. But I think this is his year. You know, this is the year that has to happen. If they do not contend for a playoff spot, hopefully make a playoff spot this year, then the pressure is really going to be on Poles. And so, you know, getting those three or four pieces they need to take the step from the 5-11 team to the next level is what has to happen in the next 2 months.
No, I'm glad you said that, Hub, because I feel like there's still some pushback from some people saying that the expectation for this to be a playoff team might be unrealistic. And I also agree with you. I think this should be a playoff team. I know they're in a really tough division. There's no doubt about that. The Lions had 16 players on injured reserve last year. They're going to be back to at least somewhere closer to full strength. You know, obviously, the Vikings had a great year. We're all trying to see what happens with J.J. McCarthy once he actually will be healthy. And I still think that the Bears should have a remarkable turnaround record-wise, given what we know about the talent that's there right now and the head coach. I don't think that's unrealistic, especially when you consider the cap space and how much draft capital they do have.
Yeah, I'm basing it mostly, Layla, on what I know about and what I've heard about Ben Johnson and what everybody around the league seems to think about him. And all of my best sources tell me that the Bears got the best option at head coach. So that's where you start, you know. And then you look at the rest and the talent of these kids. They're all talented. You know, if they weren't, they wouldn't get drafted or they wouldn't be signed to an NFL team. But which ones are the ones that take the next step, go from being talented to being a really good player? And that's where this focus has to be. As far as where the Bears are at right now, you know, they're not the best team in the division. There's no question about that. They do have some areas that they need to get better. But I'm basing my hopes for a playoff run this year on the talent that is on the roster, the ability of these players, especially the younger ones, the second and third year kids who we know are going to improve even more. And I look at their talent and I compare it to the other three rosters in the division, and they're competitive. Look at last year, even though they were 5-11, I mean, they had every one of those teams beat, you know, two of them twice, mm-hmm. and they let the games get away. And, you know, so we know they can play with them, you know, and the difference between them and the other three teams is having those, you know, two, three, four special guys who make the plays instead of making the mistakes when the game's on the line.
No, I agree. And I think that is when you put it that way, it's not unreasonable to ask what we are asking. Hub, I know I used to do a segment with you where you took calls. So we did get a text here that I want to pass along to you. This is from 708. C-Note from Midway says, please ask Hub about Myles Garrett's supposed trade. I don't know if he thinks he would be on the Bears. I don't entirely see that happening, but what are your thoughts on Myles Garrett being on the move, and do you have a potential landing spot for him?
Well, I guess my thoughts are the Browns have said every way they can, they're not trading him. So, I mean, that's kind of where I start. Would I love to see him as a Chicago Bear? Yeah, but the asking price, if they do decide to trade him, is two first-round picks. And I'm not sure I want to give up two first-round picks for an edge rusher. I just think you can get a really good edge rusher for less than that. Now, all that said, I'd love to see Myles Garrett in a Bears uniform. You know, it's just a question of can they get him, and if they can, what's it going to take? What's it going to cost to get him?
No, I agree. I think that is a very high price. And when the Bears have traded away so much of their draft capital before, I don't necessarily know that that's the move they need to make. I want to see them draft en masse this year. You know, I want to see them use every one of those draft picks to amass as much talent as they possibly can, especially in that first 72 where they've got the four picks. I think they really could make a massive difference on this team.
Yeah, Layla, I agree. And I got to tell you, if with those first four picks, if they could trade one or two of them without going down too much further, that's what I would do, because I would like to see them have as many picks in those top 60, 70 players as they can get, because that's you know, going to make the decision as to whether they can take the leap this year. And I know from talking to people there that they're at least taking all phone calls, that they're considering everything. But, you know, whether they're married to any players at any of those spots yet, or whether they're working to make trades, that I have not been able to discover yet.
And I know that I put you on the spot a little bit when it came to draft potential in players, but is there anybody you're keeping your eye on in free agency to either make a huge difference for another team or somebody who could be a huge difference maker for the Bears?
Well, not at the moment, only because it hasn't started yet and we don't know who's really going to move and who's going to be available. But I guess, you know, I would like to see the Bears get a proven pass rusher, because I think they've already got a really good one in Montez Sweat. And rather than take a chance on another young kid, you know, that's who I would get. Now, who is the best pass rusher available in free agency? There's some names, you know, but the one that kind of intrigues me the most that I think might be a really curious fit is Khalil Mack, because he probably is going to move. He is 34 years old, but, you know, he is still you know, one of the top 10, 12 pass rushers in the league. And if you brought him in for a year or two while you continue to add young talent and try and serve both purposes, you know, make your team better and be a playoff contender and make the playoffs this year, but also continue to improve the roster, Mack is a guy who interests me, because he'd be expensive, but not outrageous and not with a long-term commitment. So that's a guy I'd be curious to keep an eye on.
Yeah, we just talked about him in the previous segment. Chris Emma had a note from the Combine talking about how Mack may not want to be the spotlight on a team, but be a part of it. And Dennis Allen comes in, and this is going to be a different-looking defense. I've heard various reports on whether or not Mack would want to play for the Bears, whether or not he would see them as a contender. I also take into account his last couple of years with the team. You know, he had some injury issues. I don't know how happy he was being here either. And that's not necessarily to say the two are connected. It's just wondering out loud if the Bears would really be an option where he would want to play for this group.
Yeah, and I have no idea if Mack is interested in the Bears or if the Bears are interested in him right now. I just think with our discussion, he's a good fit for where I think the team is, where they could really improve that without having to make a long-term commitment that could cost them, you know, assets that you don't want to be without in the next couple of years. But I'm not suggesting that I've heard in any way that Mack wants to be back, nor do I really know at the moment what the Bears are thinking of.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I think the speculation is all over the place. And that's what happens when you've got a pedigree and you've got high value. You know, like, he still can make a huge difference on a team. He walks there tomorrow, he's going to make a defense better, you know?
Well, I mean, he's an edge rusher who, if he stays healthy, and that's the same for everybody, you can count on double-digit sacks, you know, and that's what they need. And I think that will create so many more sacks for Sweat, too. And that's why I like, you know, the idea of approaching that position with a proven, you know, talent, as opposed to taking a chance on a rookie, no matter how good you think he is. Now, I'd like to do both. You know, I'd like to get a good veteran and get a rookie who's going to be your next great pass rusher. And I think that's probably what they'll do. But I think the first guy that we're talking about, you know, the guy who's going to make the biggest difference, is probably going to be a veteran at the pass rush spot.
Hub, I know you've always got a lot like going on. You've got your ear to the ground. Is there anything else on your mind that you feel like you need to share at this time that's worthy of discussion?
No, nothing that pops off the top. You know, we're at that point in the season now where everything is just starting, you know, and as we get closer to the start of the draft, we'll already know which big free agents have moved. We'll have a better sense for where teams are at. That's when the big stories are going to become a lot more obvious. But for right now, I would say I'm impressed with the Bears hiring of Ben Johnson, and I'm impressed with the staff that Johnson has put together. And I think what they've done basically these first 3 or 4 weeks in the offseason so far, they're off to a good start.
A ringing endorsement from Hub. Hub Arkish, always great to talk to you and catch up. Thanks for joining me tonight.
All right, take care, Liz.
Thanks to Hub Arkish. He joined us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Always nice to hear from Hub. He and the Pro Football Weekly team doing a great job. Now on CHSN. When we come back, we talk to one of my favorite purveyors. He mans Nisei Lounge. He makes you beer. He gives back to the community. Jay Westbrook will join us to talk about big events in town over the weekend and also celebrating a real legend in a way that only he can. That's next on The Score.
Going on. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Leila Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
We thank you for joining me tonight on this show, 6 to 9 on Score Evenings, and I love to bug our next guest. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He's known as Major League on Twitter. He calls himself, and he should, the Black Beer Baron. He can be found at Nisei Lounge. He can be found at Haymarket, and he gives back to the community. Jay Westbrook is joining me now. Jay, that means A, it's almost baseball season, and B, you have a lot to celebrate.
Oh, yeah, we do have a lot to celebrate. But first of all, let's talk about the part where you, as a transplant, didn't know that today is a holiday in this here city.
I didn't. I forgot. So I said to Jay, you know, we were trying to get this segment set up, and he was like, hey, it's a busy day because it's a city holiday. Then I was like, what? What holiday?
Yeah, you lacking on your punchki, but you'll be all right. Shouts to the homies over at Maplewood. I'm drinking their Cashmere Pulaski as we speak. Salute to Cashmere Pulaski as we proceed. But hey, friend, how you been?
I mean, I've been good. You know, they've given me this evening show, and the cool part is, you know, you get to have people on like you who give back through creating, and then young people who participate in sports here in Chicago get to benefit. You do events where your work, you know, whether it's Haymarket or the events, have great consequences. You know, like when you and Shakia Taylor get together and you're sending kids to the Negro Leagues Museum, that was a wonderful thing. The way you create and give back, it's always for a good cause. So let's start with the hilariously named Sausage Fest on Saturday. It's really just a beer and sausage celebration, isn't it?
All right, so it's basically just a celebration of all of our friends and homies that do, like, restaurants, like, in case me. And we're doing beer and sausage pairings, and it's going to be so good. Specifically, I'm working with Haymarket, as well as the homies from Tribeca's sandwich shop and Honey Butter Fried Chicken. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a massively, like, seasoned chicken sausage meatball that's going to be slow poached in garlic confit oil. And then we're going to top that with salt and pepper jardinera slaw. And then my own personal Harold's 83 honey, which will infuse the beer in the mild sauce, because what we want to do is recreate the quintessential Chicago order of six-piece mild sauce, salt, and pepper. This Chicago is hell. And we're calling it Lupe's Fiesta.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, very that's tremendous.
On this. I've already eaten it like 87 times over the past weekend. So
you got to test it.
I just want to give it to y'all because I don't want to eat it no more. I want to give it to y'all.
Sausage Fest 2025 is Saturday. It is at Haymarket in West Loop, celebrating the best
yes,
local 737 beers.
737 West Randolph.
Yes.
It'll be 3-8, which is March 8th. From noon to 4, pull up. There will be a competition. There will be a best beer, best sausage, best pairing, people's choice. You're going to see all the homies. You're going to see the people from Maplewood. You're going to see the people from Soul and Smoke. You're going to see all the homies. So this is like a celebration of love. And Layla, if you ain't there, we might have to go outside and talk about it.
I think I have to have some community service time and go over to Haymarket and, you know, for science, I might just have to, I have to test these things and check this stuff out. But it really is just another great celebration of what you do. You create experiences, you try to create, it's like history through beer. I always feel like that's what you do so well. Hell, let's talk about it. Harold's Honey Ale, the 83 Harold's Honey Ale, pale ale featuring honey from a Chicago apiary, but of course, it pays homage to Harold Washington and the famous Harold's Chicken restaurants. When you created this, did you know it was going to take on this kind of status and appreciation?
What I was always aware of was the fact that the name Harold means so much to the city of Chicago. So we're talking Harold Baines. We're talking Harold Pierce. We're talking Harold Washington. But, yeah, so we can do all of that in this one encompassing thing that also brings in our friends from the North Lawndale Employment Network, a.k.a. Sweet Beginning, a.k.a. Be Love Buzz, but also talk about the city and dote on the people who make our city dope. So we're celebrating the five-year anniversary of Harold's 83 Honey right now. And we're doing so many collaborations with all of our collaborators and partners. We're doing a... there is a Wolf Point Bourbon Barrel Age demo called Punch 9. And then we have the... I'm sorry, I'm glitching right now.
Well, that's... I mean, you make a lot of beers, so that's okay.
There's a lot going on right now.
I do want to ask you a question while we're here, because I don't think I've gotten to ask you this. You know, whether it's at Nice after a Cubs game or whether it's just you and I shooting the breeze. What inspired you to put honey in a pale ale?
That was very serendipitous. We just happened to, me and Sam Ross, who does dope things over at Goose Island. Him and I were just sitting down with the homies over at Haymarket, Mike Gemma, Frank Shepard, the big homie Eric, and there just happened to be honey there, and Sam pointed it out, and we took off from there.
So it really was just proximity in a way.
Yeah, like 5 years later, that's what happened, and it's crazy because... what had happened, which is very Chicago, what had happened was we brewed this beer But right before we finished the beer, we couldn't go outside anymore.
Oh, man, yeah, because it is the five-year anniversary. You are correct.
Mm-hmm. Actual factuals.
So how did that impact the creation of this?
It made it way more deliberate and way more intentional, and it definitely made me the Black Beer Baron that I am, because it made me think about these things and think about the people who, again, who make our city dope. I love Chicago, and I'm always going to talk about Chicago, and I love to talk about Chicago via beer. Like, I am the most Chicago adjacent mod this side of the homie Dilla. Like, but yeah, it's like that's what I be on. Like, I love my city, and I know what people think about my city, but that ain't how my city thinks.
Well, to put it into a creation that people enjoy and to be inspired by it, and then to use some of these creations that you make in your brewing to then give back, you know, to things that are near and dear to you and physically near to you, like baseball, and to give back mm-hmm. to people in the city. What does that mean to you, to be able to create something that helps so many by doing what you love?
Being able to form partnerships with the homie Levante over at Lost Boys, and like literally investing back in my hood. Like, I am spitting distance from Levante and them. Shouts to Coach. Everybody know what time it is, if you know what time it is. But like, being that adjacent and being able to reinvest in what I'm actually living and seeing, and keeping kids and, you know, ingratiated with sports. It doesn't have to be baseball. It doesn't have to be softball. But whatever you want, like, I've done collaborations with the homie Evan Moore mm-hmm. and Black Girls Hockey Club. Like, we're all about just giving back and reinvesting into the things that make Chicago dope.
Well, and your passion really does radiate. Like, it's something that is appreciated, and by a transplant like me, it helps me better understand and appreciate my city. So just know that those acts really are well received.
I appreciate you, Layla. You still need a poonski, though, because you got to get right.
I had a half of one today.
Today is still a holiday.
Can I confess to you? Mark Rohde helped me steal it from the WBBM newsroom, so I got a half a raspberry, and I'm feeling pretty good about it.
I love it.
Yeah, and I got it before tomorrow, which is saying something. I feel like I'm ahead of the game right now.
Yeah, hell yeah. We can get some math.
Well, Jay, I can't say thanks enough for joining us. Sausage Fest 2025, giggle all you want. It's a fun event. It is at Haymarket West Loop on Saturday afternoon, celebrating the best local beers and sausages in Chicago. Harold's Honey Ale. Harold's Meaningful. Jay is the man who created it. Jay Westbrook, we thank you for joining us tonight on The Score.
Appreciate you, Layla.
And if you need to check out more of what Jay does or where to find him, go to Twitter at Major League, MajaLeeg. Thanks again to Jay. I know Adam Studzinski was also happy you were coming on, so you got the support from the midday show as well, but you knew that already. Thanks again to Jay. We wrap this show up next, and a big piece of news hit the NFL today. We have to celebrate a man calling it a career. Jimmy Johnson did not waste his mic time. We'll get thoughts from one of the greats next on The Score.
In 70 years of coaching at all three levels, I've never seen dysfunction that cost a team an opportunity to win the game. Wow. Obviously, he's got a rookie quarterback, and different teams do it different way. I handle clock management and timeouts. Sometimes the quarterback and the coach does it. Sometimes the coach has a coach in the box talking to him about clock management. But when Eberflus saw that they were off track and there was dysfunction, he should have called timeout. He says he wanted to communicate to the rookie quarterback to throw an out route, stop the clock, then call the timeout.
They did not throw
that was never communicated.
The communication was off.
That regardless of what the chain of command was, Eberflus has the ability to say, call timeout.
Call timeout.
Jimmy Johnson. I don't know if it's going to be the same. The great coach has announced that he is retiring after being on Fox NFL Sunday for most of the 31 years that it has been on. It's ridiculous it's been on that long. Jimmy Johnson made the announcement on The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Shout out to Colin Cowherd, who's coming to town. It's like Santa Claus, but different, I guess. He had a lot to say about communication as well. You knew Jimmy was one of my inspirations. For goodness sake, I had a starter jacket. Like, the man is a myth and a legend to me. And most importantly, a real football inspiration for those of us who didn't grow up playing and had to learn by watching TV. Summerall Madden, Jimmy Johnson, these are some of the people who helped teach me football. So I want to hear what Jimmy had to say to Colin.
Probably the most fun I've ever had in my career, and that's counting Super Bowls and national championships, was at Fox Sports. You know, I have an absolute ball with my friends on the set, and the best friends I've ever had there with Fox. But I've made an extremely difficult decision. I've been thinking about it for the last 4 or 5 years, and I've decided to retire from Fox. And I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss all the guys, and I'll see them occasionally. But it has been a great run starting back 31 years ago. I can tell you the story, and Dave Wannstedt and Tony Wise, they can verify this. When I was at Oklahoma State University, I went to a little restaurant, and we were struggling. You know, I said, you know, guys, hang with me. We're going to win a national championship. We were at Ancestor Restaurant, and we ended up winning a national championship at University of Miami because I took all of them with me. And we were going through that 1-15 year. We went to a little Mexican restaurant right there close to Valley Ranch. And I told the guys, I said, listen, I said, we're making some moves now that are going to hurt us in the short term. We traded our starting quarterback. We cut the leading receiver because he couldn't play the caliber that we wanted then. And we made some trades, obviously trading Herschel Walker, but we made 51 trades in 5 years. And I told the guys, I said, listen, I know it's a real struggle right now, but you hang with me because we're going to win a Super Bowl. And that's it. I mean, I might have sounded like a crazy man because we were going 1-15. But I said, we're making some moves now that are going to help us 3 years from now. And the way you bring out the best in people is you have interaction with them. You communicate with them. The biggest problems I ever had with anybody is when I didn't communicate. And that's what happened to Jerry and I on our relationship until it got fixed here later on, is we stopped communicating. And, you know, it never gets better if you don't talk about it. It never gets better if you don't interact and, you know, and not necessarily, you know, pumping somebody up and praising them, but, you know, just acknowledging them, you know, and saying, hey, you need to pick it up a little bit, you know, maybe in a kidding way, but you need to have some interaction with individuals. But I tried to bring out the best in everybody that I came into contact with. I don't care what their role was. I don't care how important they were. I don't care if they were a Hall of Fame player or an intern on our set. I tried to bring out the best in everybody.
The best coaches will do that. I know Lawrence Holmes brought it up on Spiegel and Holmes just before my show, but having worked with Ozzie Guillen, when somebody's a leader and when somebody's a manager and when somebody's a good teammate, that role extends well past any sort of professional athletic function. It is whatever team they're on. And I am not surprised that the great Jimmy Johnson had that to say to Colin Cowherd. Jimmy is 81 years old. God willing, we can do something we love until that age and still enjoy retirement. I sure hope he does. And what he says about communication is spot on. I'd rather have direct honesty than nothing. That's for sure. I probably communicated with you too much tonight, but to end with some words of wisdom from the great Jimmy Johnson, I'll take it every day. And when I hear that he wanted to make people around him better, I believe it, because in talking to Dave Wanstead as much as I have, I certainly believe it. And having that confidence and that belief in himself and in his personnel, who I never dreamed of being able to work with in the way that I have, I'm not surprised that he achieved greatness. He also shaped modern football, arguably, in what he did in the college game at Miami and then moving to the Cowboys. And thankfully, we got to hear him talk about the rest of the league for so long on a huge stage on Fox. He was such a big part of their coverage and making it successful and the brand it is today. So, to say the very least, shout out to Jimmy Johnson, who I just appreciate helping teach me football, helping teach me the game to where I wanted to learn more about it in every spot that I possibly could. And really, his team is what inspired me to make it a career. You never know who you might be affecting just by doing your job and talking and inspiring people by trying to make the person next to you better. So if I leave you with anything, I think those are the thoughts that I'll leave you with tonight. In the meantime, I'll be back with you on the midday show. So Marshall, Dan, and I get it going at about 9:45 with Mully and Haw tomorrow. Something tells me we're going to talk a little bit more about that Ryan Pohl's SiriusXM radio interview, along with a lot more. Of course, Mully and Haw get the party started. The pregame show is at 5 o'clock. Dustin and the crew gets you going. And then the pick six is at 6. You know I'm listening, but it's usually on rewind. Tyler Buterbaugh, thank you for doing a great job today on the ones and twos. And thanks for the new intro music.
Oh, I got you.
It's a good song. It's been stuck in my head for the last several months. I'm not going
to
lie.
I'm adding that to my playlist for sure.
Oh, yeah. Tyler, the creator, Sticky. The instrumental's great. Like, it's just a good instrumental for sure. You can mix in and out of a lot of stuff with that because of the beat. That's another show. The show where we talk about beat matching. Again, thank you to our guests, Jordan Schultz, Hub Arkish, Jim Duquette, and Jay Westbrook. Check out Sausage Fest 2025. I giggle every time I say it. It's on Randolph this Saturday. You won't want to miss it. The best beers, the best sausages in Chicago. Just creation and appreciation. Something I try to do every day. And thank you for joining me for this one. See you tomorrow.
Where do you go from here, Aaron?
Home.